Let us pray. Great and gracious God, as we come this day, we give you thanks for all of your blessings. Especially, we thank you for the gift of your word through which we learn of you. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the goodness of your love. Amen.
The scripture lessons this morning begin in the Old Testament with Joshua chapter 24, reading verses 1 to 3 and then 14 to 25. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." And he said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Our next reading is a responsive reading of the Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And turning to the New Testament, reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of a command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Listen now as we read from the Word of God, as it is given in Matthew chapter 25, reading verses 1 to 13. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Jesus was speaking to his disciples when he said these things. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise ones took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all of those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, those other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A church like that, searching online for some background material for this morning's sermon earlier in the week, I stumbled upon a video of a sermon preached at Grace Temple SDA, Seventh Adventist Church. A black Seventh-day Adventist church. And I knew right from the beginning that this was going to be something special, so I stopped to look at it. Because, you know, when you roll the cursor on top of a video preview and you kind of see the movement, right? You can see what's going to happen in the video. And there's just movement everywhere. So I thought, I want to watch that. The choir behind the preacher was jumping and raising their arms and moving back and forth. That's what caught my eye. But the preacher and the congregation, they were engaged in that call and response style of sermon that is popular in the black American church. And the organist would play chords behind the preacher when he made a point. And it got me to thinking about worship, thinking about that worship and so many other worship services that are out there. We can watch them online. We've all become worship junkies after COVID-19, haven't we? Or the ones that are all over town. Different types of worship experience and expression. And I was just reminded of that great breadth of worship experience throughout the worldwide church. And yet, whether you happen to be worshiping in Grace Temple, Seventh-day Adventist Church, or some vaulted cathedral with stately hymns and intoned psalms, or a contemporary congregation somewhere with guitars and drums. The one thing that is shared among all of these congregations is that they are congregations that have gathered in joy to offer praise to the one true God. Each of them, regardless of their style, is a Psalm 100 congregation. As we examine the actions of the psalmist this morning in this psalm that we have read together, it begins with a turning within the author. Like Joshua, the other Old Testament reading from the other reading from the Hebrew Scriptures this morning, the psalmist has made a decision. The psalmist has made a decision to turn to God. She or he has heard the invitation, the summons to prayer and praise, and has decided that they will enter the house of the Lord, knowing that there they will experience joy. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. It seems it is apparent to the one who speaks through this psalm that in his mind, the only legitimate response to being known by God is to sing God's praise. I guess that's why when I speak about those different worship styles from Seventh-day Adventist church to contemporary churches to great cathedrals, more often than not, we end up talking about the singing and the music, the praise that is part of those different styles. According to the psalmist, creation's whole purpose is to praise. And yet there's also in the psalm the understanding that our knowledge of God is incomplete. Surely we are drawn into worship because of the goodness of God that we have received. But the psalmist acknowledges that there's more. We are reminded that our understanding of God is always growing. For the psalmist continues to write in the psalm, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." For many of us, it is difficult to make an acknowledgement like that, isn't it? To admit that we're not the products of our own ingenuity from time to time or our own hard work, but that before we were even born, in our utter weakness, God is aware of our very being. And neither does God simply throw us out there, you know, mud and spittle packed together and leave us out to our own devices. But the psalmist says that we live in this ongoing relationship with our God, like sheep in his pasture. We're cared for by the Lord, and we are reliant upon him for all of the good things that we enjoy. It is because of this realization, then, that we can live lives of such gratitude and praise. And so the psalmist then ends the psalm by returns to this theme of praise. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless his holy name. How wonderful it is that we can enter into the presence of our God knowing that we are loved and sustained, and that our praise rolls forth from us in joy and in thanksgiving. I guess that's probably why the third verse of that hymn that we just sang may be my favorite verse of any hymn. And shall we be faithless? Shall hearts fail, hands hang down? Shall we evade the conflict and cast away the crown? Gosh, that's good writing. If I could write one sentence like that in a sermon in my entire life, I'd be happy. How good it is to receive God's blessing, to cling to it and claim it as our own. But behind those words in the hymn, behind the words of the psalm, there's that little question. Have we experienced delight like that? Do we enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and praise? Or is it just a shuffle along sort of thing? In an interview given a decade or so ago, this is really probably what I was looking for when I was doing my background search in the internet on earlier this week, rather than that preacher from that Seventh-day Adventist church, although he was really good. This is probably what I was hoping to find. In an interview about a decade ago, the Reverend Dr. Tom Long, who was then the professor of preaching at Candler Theological Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia, identified one of the crises that is facing the church. Dr. Long noted that for many of the people that he encountered, they would confess, you know, I have heard the gospel. I know the biblical message. But I am not existentially engaged with it. Therefore, I need to move from knowledge to delight. Sometimes it's not enough just to hear the message or to know what the Bible says, but to acknowledge that it needs to mean something for us. Where do we find our delight? In the rush of the everyday life, it's all too easy to lose sight of God, to forget to give God our thanks and praise, to crowd out moments of stillness that allow God to speak into our lives, into our souls. In a world that demands that we work harder to get ahead, do we lose sight of our dependence upon God as the source of all the good things that we enjoy? Do our lives become so busy that there simply is no time left to come into God's presence with singing? The life of faith continues to be guided by those same principles that guided the psalmist thousands of years ago. Take time for God. Take time for God daily in prayer, weekly in worship, and should you be so fortunate, yearly in time set apart, in retreat or in Christian camping, those sorts of things that call us out of the ordinary and the everyday and give us the opportunity to listen for God in a new way. We do these things that we might never wander too far from God or forget God's great benefits to us. And as we have been invited in, may we too be invitational. May we become the people who the psalmist speaks of. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. May we be the ones who are inviting others to join us in worship, that they might come to know the delight of spending time with God. And may that they see that in us, in that invitation too. Many, many years ago now, as a headquarters chaplain, I was meeting with a commanding officer of the Royal Regina Rifles in Regina. The purpose of our meeting was to discuss upcoming changes in the delivery of chaplain services within the Canadian Armed Forces. It was an exciting conversation. But it's actually the conversation around the conversation that I recall. In our chit-chat around our business, the commanding officer noted, as so many of us have noted over the years, he spoke of the struggle of keeping young people engaged in the Christian faith and in worship. And he recounted an episode with his own teenage son who woke up one Sunday morning not long before and had announced that he didn't feel like going to church that morning. I'm not going to ask people to raise their hands if your kids have ever said that, because probably they all have. And the commanding officer noted that he simply said this to his son. Well, why don't you come anyway? After all, no one has ever left worship feeling worse than when they went in. Fairly simple statement, but true. At least I hope so. It's the guy who stands up front especially, right? No one ever leaves worship feeling worse than when they arrived. Because when we come into the house of God, we experience the delight of being known by our Lord and the delight in knowing Him. Or at least, I hope that's what happens. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations. Thanks be to God. Amen.